In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, you can blow out your candles. You look so good, though, with all that light shining. I mean, it's like a commercial for skincare or something. You've got that glow. A light in the darkness. That's the people of St. Martin's. So, my daughter Blakely turned 28 this week. I have a vivid memory of the day she was born. And today being Super Bowl Sunday, I have this memory of her eccentric grandmother charging through the maternity room doors like one of the San Francisco 49ers linebackers. She came bursting into the room, her ancient raccoon coat trailing behind her like some impresario's cloak, her hair piled high, her overabundance of makeup, her generalissimo-like command that barked out, "Let me hold that child." She took Blakely in her arms, and a tear of joy, dropped to her cheek. She embraced this new life. It was 8 days since Mary had given birth to a baby boy. She and her almost husband, Joseph, then walked the 6 miles. What would 6 miles from here be? From here to Somerville? To the Circle? They walked the 6 miles from Bethlehem to the temple in Jerusalem to do what good Jewish parents would do, especially with their firstborn son. They went to the temple in order that he might be given a name that, if you'll remember, had already been provided to them by the angel, and that he might be circumcised. But as they walked through the door, even before they got to one of the many priests on hand there that day, they were met by two elderly saints. And in my imagination, I like to picture them. I like to picture them, even though they may have been very, very old and so stooped over a bit with skin that sagged and hair that was dried out. I still imagine that they both had a glitter in their eye. One of them said, "Let me hold that child." Simeon took the child in his arms. Simeon and Anna had gotten up every day of their life for the many last years in order to do one thing: to one day hold that child. God had told them, "You will not die until you see my Messiah, my anointed one." And they were going to hold God to that promise. They were not going to die until that happened. And so day after day after day, week after week after week, month after month after month, year after year after year, they made their way to the temple to say, "God, we remember. Do you?" What is it like to trust God with your life? like that. Every day, to talk with God every day. And so to say to God, so when are you going to do it? Not to give up hope. They had a faith that God would not let them down. Do you feel that way? Do I? Do I have that kind of faith? Do you? And you know, I doubt that they were looking for a teenage girl and a middle-aged man with tough-skinned hands, the hands of a carpenter. I don't think that's what they had in mind when they thought of Messiah. But because they were looking, and because they had faith in their hearts, because they were holding God to their promise, they saw on that day what people who were not looking for what God might do and who did not wake up every day and say, is today the day, Lord? People of faith go through life and they see different things in the world all around them. This story makes me wonder, how much have I missed in an ordinary day when I was not looking for what God has prepared for me to see on a given day? Is it possible that amazing things have happened around me and I missed it because I wasn't looking? They were looking, and so they saw. They took that baby in their arms, first the one and then the other. And then I imagine they cast their eyes toward the heavens and said, now, Lord, now your servants can depart in peace, because my eyes have finally seen what you promised, a light like the ones the people of St. Martin's held on a Sunday morning in their hands to begin worship, a light to light up the darkness of the world, a light for all the nations. And I imagine a tear of joy dropped to their cheek, because God is good, because God had not forgotten them, and because they felt God's love in their very arms. And that's really where the story in our gospel reading this morning ends. But I'd like to go one step beyond that with you on this day known as the presentation. And that's that although every baby ever born, including my wonderful Blakely, is to one's parents the most beautiful child in all the world, even though you and I both know that babies pretty much look alike. Some have even said most babies look like Winston Churchill. May not be fair, although I really liked Winston Churchill. But Jesus was distinct as your child was distinct. But on that day, when Anna and Simeon looked into his little brown eyes, and when his pudgy little fingers reached out to grab onto their ancient ones, I believe that part of the spiritual message for the ages is that Simeon and Anna were looking into the eyes of every child who has ever been born. It was a child, just as you and I were once children. It was a child, just the way your son or your daughter or your grandson or your granddaughter, just as those babies. I read this week that we now have 16,000 children in those, I don't know what to call them, are they refugee camps? Are they detention centers? Are they prisons? 16,000 children being held at the southern border of this country, trying to cross over into this land. I think of all the children in the impoverished cities of our country. I think of all the children in the underfunded schools of our hill country in this land. I think of all the kids growing up in Somerset and Mercer and Hunterdon County. That child's face in the temple on that day of presentation was the face of every child. Perhaps every child is the Messiah of God. Perhaps every child is God's chosen one. That God anoints every child and says, I will give you breath. I will give you the gift of life in order that you might go out into this world and work for peace. That you might forgive when you are wrong. That you might act for justice, that you might share joy and love with abandon, not counting the cost, but giving your life away for the sake of the other, even as my child Jesus did. You are the Messiah the world has been waiting for. Perhaps the message of Epiphany is that through one person's story, the story of Jesus, we see the story for all creation. It is not just Jesus that the world waits for in faith. It is you and your children and your grandchildren and every precious life that lives to fulfill all the promises of God for all that this world can be. That to me is the lesson of Simeon and Anna. Lord, when we embrace that with our lives, when we embrace that and say, now I have it, now I hold it, now I see it, then we too can depart in peace. Amen.